Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. That's it, pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over. How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, the guys people are talking about when they discuss monkeys and footballs. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 291. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my very good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, brother? Welcome back again.
I'm happy to be back, and I apologize. There is no awful, terrible joke this week. That's on me.
That's always on you, whether there is or isn't. In today's show, we got a lot to talk about. We got the bye week blues going, and boy, our Lions fans got the blues right now. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll see where we're at. Got a lot of Lions former and other folks talking nationally about the Lions right now. It's not very complimentary. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're also going to talk really in depth on Keeper Trash, Patricia, and Quinn, and we're going to ask, should we really cater our opinions to popular opinions? We're going to talk about that a little bit because I think there's a lot to get into there. So be really, really cool, really, really fun. We got a great show lined up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
Ready to roll.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, first, like we always do, we're going to kick it off with some quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Very special thanks to Dylan from...
Guam.
That's right. Never sounds as good as Tampa. He's down in Tampa nowadays. Our very first donor, Mathis, Brian B. from I Prevail, and I'm just going to say Mod Man Second Coming. Give him a big shout out today for being a Patreon person. Thank you all for being Patreon people. Make sure to check out Brian Brookheiser, iprevailband.com, him and the team. They're going to be on the St. Jude Show, and got a little something special cooking, so get your pots ready, folks. This is gonna be a good one. Anyway, all those folks, we're all hanging out on the Slack chat. We have a special chat where people can differ in opinions, but they don't hate each other. It's a very, very strange place in the world of the internet. It's the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet, 110%. I will not tell a lie. I'm telling you, it's straight up that way. How do you take part? Get on the Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as a dollar a month donation, it's what helps keep the show going. We don't have like Vox or USA Today or any of the big people supporting us. We're just on our own here doing our own thing. So your donations are most appreciated. Again, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. We'll take more than a buck if you got it, for sure. But you get into that Slack, and I'll tell you, it is worth every penny and more. It's a great place, and there's been great conversations, not just about whether or not people should be fired or with the team, but what to do afterward, looking a year down the road, a lot of really, really good stuff. So if you're looking for a good group of people and you don't want to wreck it, join the Patreon because it's a great place. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Check us out on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, the very best place to see Case.
Searching the cockles of my heart.
That's right. At DET Lions Podcast. Find the cockles of Case's heart. And give us a follow while you do it. Subscribe on YouTube. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Hit that notification button. Hit that bell so you know when we go live. We've got a couple little special events we got going on. We've got 3 shows a week. And we got all kinds of other stuff. But we have a different channel you can also subscribe to. And I'm going to give you this URL right now until we get this last piece ironed out. It is bit.ly/DLP clips. It's bit.ly is the link shortener. bit.ly, and then it's /DLP clips. You can find all the short Cliff's Notes version pieces and chunks from the show if you don't have time. Sometimes you don't have all the time you need. so you can get some of the key points from the show and watch it that way. We figured this was helpful for folks. It's video only. It's not going to be audio. And it's on its own channel, so the folks that subscribe to the main channel aren't getting pinged all the time every time we put one of those clips out there. So it's a great way to put this out there for you guys. And hopefully you enjoy it, because we do. All right, moving on. Rate us iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Amazon, wherever you find us. Amazon. Let's talk about them. We appreciate all those folks that give us those 5-star reviews. If you have something less than 5 stars, we're happy to talk about it in the subreddit. And if most of the people that took part in that conversation with me this week walked away wanting, but it's because it wasn't good criticism. It wasn't. It was just angry people crawling out of a trash can. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show, baby.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And first and foremost, I will be happy to say we have a bye week. No one will be disappointed in the Lions this week, at least their performance on the field.
I need it, man. I need to try to sleep this Sunday for the first time in a while. So
yeah, it's been a stressful season so far. Folks are angry. I think it's not just football that's under people's skins right now. I mean, you got a heated election, of course, and no matter what side of that you're on, you're heated and you're passionate, and that's fair. You want people to be passionate and caring about elections and that stuff. So that's that. The whole idea of quarantines, lockdowns, whether you're working at a site or working from home, they all carry their own sets of stresses and stressors. And then you add the idea that you're the team, the one piece that most people have been waiting for. Sports that you know, a lot of people are football only, but this is the big sport. NFL is the number one sport in America. When your team just kind of chokes on the chode like the Lions have this year, it's so hard to stomach and hard to take as a fan. And I think that's a lot of what's gotten folks into the stir they are this year compared to previous years when similar events kind of happened, right? So we'll talk about that. We'll get into that a little bit. We'll still do more therapy for you. A couple good questions already in the chat, and we'll get the what does it take to get for him to get fired? Shui, we'll get into that. We'll talk about that on the show today. We got that as a big conversation. Bob losing the locker room for sure. That's a thing. And then how do you think COVID will affect NFL down the stretch? Do I think the Titans should forfeit games? That's actually a really good conversation. I'm going to add that to our list of topics, if you don't mind, Case. We've got some time. All right. Can we do that? Are we okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kerr.
There.
I got you.
We'll work it out. We'll work it out.
Yes. Yes, we will. All right, Kerr, 1 second. I got you. Thank you for the... There, that should fix it. Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. Kerr, I apologize for you not being able to hear me. That should be able to make it better for you. All right. Let's see. Lions versus the Saints. I don't know if you noticed that it was a game this week, Case. Did you see that they played?
You know what? I watched the first about 30 minutes, and I had been up since about, I don't know, about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was busy doing other things. And it's super rare that I ever do this, but I took a nap mid game at when I fell asleep. It was 14-0.
Well,
let me tell you what the score was when I woke up. It wasn't 14-0.
No, it was not. It was not. It's crazy. It's crazy. This is not the first time this team has lost a double-digit lead. As a matter of fact, as we all know,
no,
it's an NFL record for doing
that. I was going to say this might have been the most dramatic, but it isn't. It isn't a first. It isn't an unaccustomed situation. So there was no point. It wasn't that I felt soothed by 14-0.
There was no sad.
Right. It wasn't like I was like, oh, okay, we got this in the bag. I'm going to fall asleep now. No, I was nervous immediately. It sucks. It really sucks to.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead. I was just saying that it absolutely does.
No,
for sure.
To have that emotion, to have that, it wouldn't matter if we were up 28-0. It sucks to have that emotion. And I think that is a big part of even though we came within possibly one drive of winning the game, that was the emotion that people were left with for the majority of the game, is that it doesn't matter how much we're ahead, we can screw it up. And mm-hmm. that has been a pretty consistent thing for the last year and a half.
You think? I have no idea how it is that we can continually screw it up like we have been. I just don't understand how, as a team, the Lions continue to do so poorly with such a large lead, and especially with the quarterback we have. I mean, look, our defense is terrible. We knew the defense needed help. We knew that the defense was going to have a hard time against the Saints. What mm-hmm. we didn't think and what we didn't calculate was the offense wouldn't be able to run
to do
drives
anything
against,
for two quarters.
Right.
No, two and a half quarters.
For against injured safeties. And look, I get the defense has failed a number of times, but on the Saints game, I don't put the onus on the defense here as much. We knew they were gonna score on us. They're a high scoring team.
No, I mean
they always score a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean that's who they are. But the fact that we couldn't score against that defense, the infirmary defense, right? They didn't have a starting corner playing.
And Mitch, they kept losing guys as the game went on.
Yeah. Yeah. That and look, this is not the only reason, right? That's not the only reason we lost this game. And I agree the defense should have had more stops. The defense should have done better. I'm not excusing the defense. But I'm gonna tell you my biggest worry, not just for the season, but for the long term, is Matthew Stafford right now. And returning from this injury, I expected if he's shaken rust off, that rust was gone by now. I'd expect him to be Matthew Stafford. What you saw was a lot of arm and kind of upper body throws. His back wasn't in it. His stance wasn't right. He wasn't putting his lower body in it. It looked like his back is bothering him still. And if this is the case after this long, and it wasn't somehow re-injured maybe in the Green Bay game, which I think was more of a knee than a back thing. But if this is where we're at, because he looks to me, I've said it before on the show, he looks to me like he's frustrated that his body is not doing the things that he knows it can do. And as someone who's getting older, I used to be really, really fast. Now, when I take a run, I'm not nearly as fast. And I'm like, wait, when did I slow down? It just suddenly happened. It was a realization that happened one day. I wonder if that's what he's fighting. Like, his body just can't do what it could do before. Is it rust? I'm getting less and less on the rust side of this equation than I am on the other side. And that does not bode well for this organization for the long term. I don't care who your coach is. I don't care what you do. If you have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford that's prematurely going away, that's a problem. I'll put one more piece. I don't know necessarily that would be prematurely either. I think guys like Breeze and Brady are putting such an unrealistic expectation on longevity for quarterbacks that
I'll leave that sticker there
and you can deal with it.
Yeah, for sure. You know that I always drag my feet about that kind of thing, too. Like, I'm never prepared to say this guy has this or this guy is done doing this or whatever until we've seen it over an extended period of time. But I mean, it's approaching an extended period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it is. Riley, thanks so much for the super chat, brother. If we had to trade Stafford this year, what do we think we could get for a return? I'm going to let you answer that. I have an answer in my head, but I'm going to let you answer it, Case, and we'll see where you're at.
It's so much of it depends on who wants him right away. And that's the tricky question. And I'm trying to think of which teams I think would benefit from having him right away, because it's not necessarily even about which teams would want him next year. It's about a team that's on the cusp and just needs a better quarterback immediately. Give me like 10 seconds here. Sure. I'm going to look up some standings and see if it rings a bell.
I'm going to throw something up there really quick.
While
you do that, I sit here and I think about it, and I was like originally like the Jets. That would be a great team, but they stink so absolutely bad.
Right. I don't think that makes sense for them.
They're getting Trevor Lawrence 100%, right? It doesn't make sense for them to get a short-term solution like Matthew Stafford. You get Matthew Stafford, you're looking at kind of like what happened with Rivers, right? 2-3 years, maybe 4 years if you're lucky. like yet, but you're a team that needs a guy now and to go on for the next couple of years. So I'm not sure that the draft pick that we get for him is probably going to be, if you get a first round, you're probably looking somewhere around 20th.
Here's a couple of options. The Washington football team.
I've heard of them.
I think that Stafford would be an upgrade for them.
For sure.
And they're only a half game out of the lead in the NFC East right now. And I mean, that's largely because that division is awful. It's straight up trash, you know, top to bottom. But I mean, that's certainly a possibility. If Cam Newton's going to miss significant time with the Patriots, the Patriots, you know, obviously we have that connection. So that's an option. I'm holding on to not my favorite because I don't want it to happen, but my like
realistic,
the one I think the, you know, the Chargers are also a possibility. There are some good things going on with the Chargers. But I think maybe the most advantageous for the team that we'd be trading it to would be the Colts. I think that Matthew Stafford would fit what they do very well. Even if he's not 100% Matthew Stafford, I still think he elevates a little bit of what they're doing in the pass game over there.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, they're technically a 0.25 game back from the Titans, but God only knows what's going to, I mean, the Titans thing is
got some good stuff here.
Right. So,
Adam is saying 97.1's talking about getting Haskins. That's funny. Kerlingus.
I don't want him. Why would we want him?
No.
I mean, if you're going to go ahead and trade Stafford, don't bring somebody else in.
Worse.
That's, you know, so, just go ahead and play Chase. Chase Young, Daniels, the rest of the year.
All right. So also we got, Kerlingus, I like what he said. Right now, what could you get for him? A second and a fourth this year and a second next year from the Niners. The Niners might be a good partner with Garoppolo in the shape that he's in.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I think they like Garoppolo and they're ready to move on from him yet. But
he's hurt, so you never know. And then Kerr also, thanks for the super chat, man. He said, that's exactly what I saw. His back is still tight from being surgically repaired. No offseason and not playing full contact for almost a year. And that's what I'm thinking, but I'm not sure if this is still rust or not, or if it's like an ongoing problem. So we'll see. Boy, this is and Hodges, right, Mike Hodges, even when Stafford played through injuries previously, he didn't hesitate with his decision-making, and that's a huge difference this year to him. He's definitely, the sacks that he's taken because he's not making decisions with the ball, it's I don't know, man. No more than two kids in a family, folks. Let's not get crazy here.
Here's what I'm going to say. You know, as I said, we're approaching the point where I have to look at it as a possible, you know, trend and not a long-term thing, right? Or not a short-term aberration. But we have the bye week, and then that's really the deciding factor for me. Like, if it comes back in week 5 and he still is having issues, then it's at that point, like, that's when I have to seriously go from over here saying I still believe that he can be the guy that he was, to really flipping the script and saying, well, I just, you know, he's proven that he can't be the guy that he was. So I think next week the week after the bye week is like, that may be the most crucial game of his career, you know, outside of a playoff game.
And it goes to the coaching staff as well. Let's be honest. I mean,
oh yeah, 100%.
If you lose to the Jags, if this team loses to the Jags, even though it's at Jacksonville, this is huge. This is a huge fail on the part of this coaching staff, and is not something that they're going to be able to hold on to. That's the hot seat right there. And I'll tell you, like I said, I've got to adjust a little bit my prediction. I keep saying November 1st. I have to say, I still have a date, right? It's November 2nd because it's the Monday after the game. If it's on the 1st, that would be literally, it would be 107-3 or something that we lost to the Colts, right? If it was a away game, they wouldn't fly them home. But this it could be also the week earlier against the Falcons. If they're going to do it midseason, I think this is when they're going to do it. Otherwise, they'll wait till the end. The reason they would do it after their Falcons game would be because it's ahead of the trade deadline. And then they could start really playing with players and not have the coach realize, you know, he can't complain. They move the team on me when they get rid of him. They get rid of him, they move the team, and then you get probably Bevel as the head coach for the rest of the year, which is what it is, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that Bevel has done enough over the last 3 weeks. I know that we were very happy with what he was able to do last year, but a lot of people coming into the year, even after week one and the week two, you know, debacles, where they were saying, well, we should just make Bevel the head coach right now, but it's not exactly like the offense has been, you know, dominant with Bevel. So is that really what you want? You are super convinced that Bevel's going to be a better solution right now? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm not saying, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, because if Bevel moves up to being the head coach, maybe he thrives in that situation. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that I can say for certain that that wouldn't be a good position for him. I still think, you know, if they're going to move, and maybe I'm jumping topics here, but if they're going to move on from this coaching staff mid-season, I have a hard time seeing Bevel being a success as an interim.
I think what happens is the team rallies a little, we get a win or two more. And this is where I think Lions fans really need to kind of think about things right now. Okay. Last year after Matthew Stafford went down, I think everybody was just like, okay, pack it in, the season's over, right? We said that before the season. If Matthew ever goes down, this team can't win. And then he went down and we didn't win. People still got mad, right? But we knew that this was the case and this is how it's going to go. Well, Matthew Stafford isn't Matthew Stafford right now. So it's kind of like Matthew Stafford went down, but people expected the beginning of the year last year, 2019, Matthew Stafford to show up this year with this team and start, you know, start doing that kind of thing. Right?
If we're holding him to that standard, if that is the absolute standard that we have to hold everything he does, then yeah, he is definitely not at that point right now.
But we thought also we would be getting out into the bye week at 1-4. Everyone said 1-4 for lucky 2-2, right? We just happened to lose.
You mean
that
1-3.
Yeah, 1-3, sorry. Or 2-2. And everyone thought we were going to win the Chicago game and lose the other three. Maybe we could hold up. Maybe we could steal one at Arizona, right?
Which we did.
I got you guys. Just had a small problem here. All right. Okay. Back. Okay. So there we were. We had lost what's it called Stafford. We bring him back. He's not there. We're coming in here 1-3. We didn't win the game we thought we would win, but we're 1-3. Okay, that's great. Nobody, you know, that's where everyone expected it. But the place is absolutely on fire. It's absolutely on fire. It's fire, these guys, and it's literally not different than what we thought. Yeah, we're seeing double digit lead losses, and that's unacceptable from this defense. And I'll talk about some things for some player tweets that we saw going on. The other part you think about is we played two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the first 4 weeks, right? I mean, they're absolute Hall of Famers on teams that are just absolutely banging. If you think the Green Bay Packers aren't a threat to win the Super Bowl this year, you're deluding
yourself.
Yeah,
no, they are. Absolutely. They are one of the top teams in the league right now.
And the New Orleans Saints were injured, but you can't put them down.
I mean, they barely lost to the Packers.
Right. Sadly, you got me, Nick. Yeah, absolutely. They had a little bit of a tough schedule too. They could very easily have been 2-1 when we met, right? It's just, you know, the way the things fell. We had a chance at beating them. We didn't. And that's absolutely on us on the Lions as a team. And there's, you know, all kinds of reasons why that's wrong.
It sucked that we didn't get the one last stop that gave Stafford the one last opportunity. That really sucks.
But we're 1-3 sucked. Like we thought, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to sell you guys on these coaches. I'm just telling you.
Oh, no.
Expectations shifting and goalposts moving is really crazy to me. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in the show. But we've been doing all this stuff. Right now, it's the bye week blues. We get a chance to breathe. We get to kind of look back. We get to think about it. Is this a team that's going to make the playoffs this year? I'll say this much. There's not a possibility, but no.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah, no.
We're not predicting that.
Right. There's a possibility, but no, it's not going to happen. Okay. So we'll just roll with that. And we're in the same position, kind of rolling back to where I started when Matthew Stafford got injured last year, that we have a whole nother season we're looking at of a football team that isn't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And a subpar product. And I think that's a lot of what's driving the anger, right? Because this was supposed to be better. This is not supposed to be like that. The next thing now is we're going to get wins against this whole, we have a slew of easier teams now, and we're definitely going to get wins. I wouldn't be surprised if we win 5 out of the next 6. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
And it's like, holy cow, now what's happened, right? Do we have to keep the coach? Well, I don't think we have to, but I don't think right now, like I think what the Texans did with Bill O'Brien, and we'll talk about that, was a mistake. Actually, for their organization, him not being there is absolutely right. For the organization in the long term, maybe not a good move. But so we're in the spot, and that's I think why fans are the way they are right now with the team. And I get it. Kind of wrapping up the Saints game, we're through the gauntlet. We're through the most difficult part of the schedule, where we played, like I said, two absolute Hall of Famers. Kyler Murray, the jury's out on where he's going to be, but he looks to be like a hell of a quarterback. He looks to be, you know, a young guy who's doing really, really well. We'll see. We beat that team, and we'll move on from there. We'll see what happens these next couple of weeks. But let's cinch it up. As Lions fans, let's see what we can do, and let's start thinking longer term than just what's going to happen at the end of the season, because I think I know what the end of the season looks like. I think we all know what the end of the season looks like at this point, so we should just kind of probably admit it and then say, so what do we do since that's the case?
Well, yeah, and we talked on I think 2 or 3 different shows we had this offseason, you and I and Jeff talked about what record would it require to keep Matt Patricia? And I said multiple times, it really depends on how it plays out. That the actual number matters, but not necessarily as much as how you get to that number. Because if they were to go 2-2 over the next 4 games, right? And they're sitting at 3-5, but then manage an 8-8, they go 5-3 over the last 8.
Yeah.
How are you going to complain too much that you're going to see and tell, trust me, you listening to this, no matter how much you hate Matt Patricia right now, you're going to have a hard time if they go 5-3 over the last 8 games and they're winning games more often than they're losing games. All of a sudden, it's going to be difficult for you to stay as negative. I'm not going to say you're not going to find reasons to be upset. And I'm not going to say you shouldn't find reasons to be upset. We're going to talk about Jim Caldwell in a little while here, and I think we can bring that back in. I had some very negative things to say about him before he left, despite the fact that there were some good things going on.
Sure. Well, let's do that really quick. I want to talk about, I mean, with the pain you're suffering here as a Lions fan, right? At some point you admit this is what the future of the team is, right? Yeah, there's the edges and the cone of uncertainty, but if we kind of look down the middle, we know where this team is heading. What do we do to deal with that pain? You go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. That's what you do.
Such a smooth transition.
Not just for pain, but for the anxiety caused by those Lions games, the sleepless nights when you can't sleep through. I'm telling you, cbd.detroitlionspodcast is the place to go. And I will tell you, all little addy stuff aside, I got just today from Big Bad Fab, and I'm trying to scroll back to it from this morning. Give me one moment. In the Slack chat, a couple of the guys were talking about how awesome the CBD was and how it's helped their joints. It was the cream that they were using, helping their joints and helping them sleep and get rid of some pain. Who was it? Come on, Mitch. Mitch, he was the one. He was the other one. Two people today in the Slack chat were really, really singing the praises of the pain relief that they got from the CBD cream. I'm going to tell you this stuff is absolutely chill. Come on, you can see maybe I'm getting through there. this the Delta 8 stuff is is really something. The other stuff was great. The normal CBD stuff that they had, the oils and the gummies. But if you really, really, really want to go to sleep, the chill line, the Delta 8 line is the one. If you need the relaxation, you want to get rid of that pain, that's the way to do it. Go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Hook yourself up. Diamond CBD. Highly, very, very good, well packaged, great packaging and instructions and literature that come with it. Just top shelf, great service, great stuff, great people. And we love working with them. Go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com, kill the lion's pain and take care of yourself naturally. cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Okay. Let's talk about, I'm going to take this. It's from Lame Brain in the subreddit, and I want to read his whole topic because I think this is a great way to get into it. It's a request to the mods in Reddit, a sticky Jim Caldwell thread where everyone that hasn't weighed in on this issue dozens of times already can go and circle jerk with all the other dead horse beaters. This is literally one of the finest
Triggered by that right now, but
one of the finest titles in Reddit I've seen a lot. So let's get into this. And I'm going to start out right out of the chat. Dustin, you should do a super chat for this one because I'm reading it. If they beat a bunch of shit teams and get killed by the good teams, isn't that Caldwell over again?
It is, but we see how people remember Caldwell, like with under a certain rosy light. You know, if it's Caldwell all over again, and you're still calling him to be fired, then you have to admit that you recognize that Caldwell should have been fired, which he should have been. So
let's go into that, right? There's a lot of people, including players, right, on Twitter,
yeah,
talking about how great Caldwell was, right? And I'm gonna push one piece and then you can push back on this case.
Totally.
Jim Caldwell, the players absolutely loved him. Jim Caldwell was kept for Quinn's first year because the players went and fought for him. If you remember back then, the players stood up and said, "We want Jim Caldwell." And it was like, okay, that's what you get. You want Jim Caldwell? You got it. He's the guy you're going to play for. You got it. And they played and they missed the playoffs and they really hit top Jim Caldwell again. That's what you get. Jim Caldwell. That's peak Jim Caldwell. What you got that year. This team was absolutely ready to take the next step. Did they hire the regime to take the next step? Oh, hell no. It sure doesn't look like it. It does not mean that leaving Caldwell behind and trying to advance the team is the wrong play.
Well, and Mike hits on my main point about Caldwell in the YouTube chat right now. Players never developed under Caldwell. So yes, they were ready to take the next step, but Caldwell was never going to take them to that next step because the players weren't getting better as players. The only player that I can look at who Caldwell had a direct hand in getting better over the time that he was there is Stafford. And I will give Caldwell credit for that. Don't get me wrong. Stafford as a player got better. But the problem was not that. The problem was that he still tried to use the Jim Bob Cooter and the Joe Lombardi offensive systems, which were horrible. And Jim Caldwell was never going to move on to those guys if he wasn't forced to move on from those guys. Yep. The players liked him, and that's great. I don't think that's a bad thing inherently. I don't think it's a good thing inherently either for winning games. If I'm putting myself in a player's shoes, would I rather be playing for a mediocre franchise with a coach that I liked, or would I rather be playing on a losing team with a coach I don't like? And I think that's obvious. The obvious answer is that if I was a player, I would have rather played on the Lions under Jim Caldwell than played on the Lions under the current Matt Patricia circumstances, right? Like, that's not a tough question for me. So when a player speaks out about saying good things about Jim Caldwell, that I can understand 100% where they're coming from. Don't get me wrong, but that doesn't mean that there was ever any potential for that team to be a Super Bowl caliber team under Jim Caldwell. They simply weren't developing. They weren't getting any better.
I agree.
2014 was the peak of that team, and that was his first year. And granted, the defense played better that year in 2014 than they had played in the previous few years, but that was a defense that had some incredible talent on it. And he was good at getting that incredible talent to do what they needed to do. But he wasn't good at building. As soon as we started losing that incredible talent, Levy and Sue and Fairley and et cetera, there was, he was not capable, and his coaching staff around him was not capable of building up other players to fill in those positions and play as well as those guys did.
Yeah. Let me hit a couple of things that are flying through the chat because there's some really, really good stuff, right? Let's see. Really quick. Adam, they weren't prepared at all for that Seattle playoff. That was an embarrassment. That was an absolute embarrassment.
It was ruination.
Horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. And we got a couple calls on the Lions line from Seattle podcasts or fans or whatever that were just, we wound up not playing them because they were just like profane as hell. And we're usually not afraid of being profane, as you know, but they were just absolutely, it was like horrifying. It was dumpster fire, like weird stuff. So that was bad. Ryan Zarzecki says, let's get Jimmy Johnson from retirement. Just you hold on to the old guy thing, because I got something for you here in a little bit. I've got something that's going to pop your popcorn a little bit. Matt, thank you so much for the super chat, brother. The reality is the fan base now deserves better, and it's time for ownership to figure this out. And this ownership can actually do that. I think you're right. I think, look, they did all the right things to get Quinn. They did all the right things to get Patricia. It's just that those guys weren't at all what they were supposed to be.
It was absolutely a
bad job, and we've played it out, and it needed to play out, right? You absolutely need to play that out.
I completely agree with that.
Where, and I'm just making this up, I'm not telling you, asking you who, but where are you going to find a GM this year? You're not going to you're not going to pluck a guy from Seattle. You're not going to pluck what's it called? Oh God, Lynch from San Francisco. You're not going to get Ozzie Newsome, right? You're going to have to find somebody who isn't a GM today, because good GMs don't fall off of teams, right? You have to find them and grow them. Bob Quinn was consensus the best available, and then Patricia. We always knew it was either Patricia or Vrabel or possibly Josh. What's his face? Josh, I'm coming, but I'm not. it was one of those guys. It wound up being Patricia, and Patricia just wound up not being ready, not being the right personality, it seems like. Although he's made a lot of changes, he's just not been able to bring the team around. Will the team come around? Maybe. We'll see. But is it too late? Maybe. We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll figure this out. But I think the stuff with Caldwell was the right position. I want to go to a guy who still may be calling in for the show today. We're holding out hope. His schedule's kind of wacky. But he will be.
McDaniels. I said McDonald. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah. but he will be on the St. Jude show. If you guys remember Lawrence Jackson, defensive end from a couple years ago, drafted by the Seahawks, came to the Lions for a couple years. What an awesome, awesome dude. He's been just spectacular on Twitter the last couple days. If you guys aren't following him, please, please do. I believe it's LJackson94 or LowJackson94 or something like that. He's going back to Schwartz's days, right? And he says, someone said, we never should have let Schwartz go. And he said, that's a tough choice. One I feel that fan pressure created. Jim was on to something. I can't imagine what it would have looked like had we been at full capacity. I never had a problem with him as a coach. It's just one-on-one conversation I had a problem with. It was just a one-on-one conversation I had the problem with. So there you go. I'm gonna keep going with some of LoJack stuff here, and I'll hit some of the stuff that came in. He says also, I don't believe in interims. If you're good enough to lead after he's fired, step up in the meeting rooms now. And that's important, right? If you're talking about firing Patricia now, who are you going to replace him with? Who's the one stepping up to do that job? And if you're good enough, step up now and do it. But it's not there. It's not, right? So you wind up with a season kind of like last season. He also said, I can tell you this much. Cleveland, I'm sure, are wishing they had given Belichick a wee bit more time. Interesting. You know, that's been said a lot. Just imagine Browns fans looking at Bill like, damn, we dogged him pretty bad, and look at him now winning trophies and stuff, doing just what he was trying to do here. So that was pretty interesting. Also, LoJack comes in with, it's too early in the season to give up on the season when you've played two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Good points. Everyone's frustrated, which is why Patricia's answer miffed a lot of people, but I say relax. We lost two really good teams who are hitting it early in an off season, And when answering only 10 wins in 3 years, he says 3 years in a roster overhaul is a bit different. So he's talking a lot about the roster itself being overhauled, being the one of the key problems here. And that's interesting. That's one of the things I really wanted to ask him about when he called in. And get some deeper thought on that. And Lojack is just, I love him. I love this guy on Twitter. I love his thinking. He's really, really, really thoughtful. Check his blog out too. He's got some really good stuff going. All right, sorry. One more thing, and I'll let you go, Case. I'll let you loose. Curlingus.
I just have one thought, but go ahead.
What's that teaser about old guys? If you say Bradshaw is going to come back, I'm going to go be a fan of the Packers. No. We're not yet. We'll be there real soon. Go ahead, Case. Sorry.
Curlingus. No, I do think there's going to be, if Patricia were to get fired, you know, if he had gotten fired this week, or if he gets fired, got it, Matt, I'll do better. if he gets fired in the next couple weeks, he's going to have a very interesting legacy in terms of how many close games they have dropped under him. It feels like an unprecedented amount. How many can you? I'm sure there have probably been other coaches who have lost their jobs after losing a ton of close games, but especially over this year and last year, it just seems that is remarkable how the percentage of games that he's lost by a touchdown or less, or 8 points or less, mm-hmm. is just astronomical. And that's crazy to think about. And to think about how much just a little bit of luck, or just a little bit better coaching, or just a little bit better players could have changed all of it, could have changed the whole narrative. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's not a suggestion that Patricia isn't to blame for any of the stuff. Believe me, that's not at all what I'm saying. I've been watching the same game you guys have been playing, and it's incredibly frustrating. I'm so frustrated, but it really is going to be a remarkable legacy to look back on, one way or the other.
yeah, he's It is, and it's going to be a Lions legacy. Really, every time there's a record, somehow the Lions are tied to it, but on the downside, right? I mean, it's just the way the world crumbles for Lions fans. So the whole Caldwell thing, I think we've been through that. Everybody liked him. Everybody liked Caldwell, and I don't blame him. He had that dumb look on his face in the sideline that drove me nuts when he mismanaged games all the time.
But I don't think we had anything like, we never said anything bad about him as a person. We were never upset with him, like, for him not trying hard enough.
No, not at all. I don't think I'm upset at Patricia for not trying hard enough. I'm upset because he's not good enough. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at. And by the same token, though, I'm going to go back, as mad as I am. Right. I have to look at reality in the face, because it's not healthy to be mad at things that you have no control over. And I'm going to go back to meaningful games in December, by which the Decemblemometer has been updated, by the way. But I'm going to tell you, that is what everything is all about, on whether or not and how this coach will last. And let me actually pull up the Decemblemometer for everybody to show you where it is after this last week. put that on the screen for you. Yeah, we're almost a tank. We're just on the edge there. It's what it is. We've talked about when he's going to be fired. He may make it to the end of the year. We'll see. But I think, as we talked about, how he gets to that, it's 7-9 isn't going to work. 8-8. Maybe. What if we win the last 8 games of the season, and we beat the Packers, and we beat the Titans, and we beat the Buccaneers? Like, if we were just suddenly went on a massive 8 game roll at the end, right? I think there's a little more confidence in this team that they could do it if they had the time of a preseason to get everything put together and the OTAs and that, right? That's kind of what the story tells. Do they survive? I don't know. I don't know if they do. A lot of people would be uptight and frustrated. I don't know. I will tell you, though, here's the reason you don't do what the Houston Houston fellas did. Okay. Because, okay, they got Romeo Crennel for the rest of the year. So they do have a former head coach who's not, you know, superstar by any stretch, right? But he's the guy. They have him coaching the team for the rest of the season, and they have somebody in place. Who is that wacky-ass organization going to recruit? They knew who they had in Bill O'Brien before they lost four games. They knew that who they had when he was going to trade away DeAndre Hopkins. Like, who does that? Who allows that to happen? They knew what kind of a knucklehead he was. And instead of firing him at a time when they could have brought somebody in before the season, four games in, they're firing this guy. Now, I want to tell you, at the end of the season, there's going to be openings for anywhere from 4 to 6 coaches. Okay. And if you're the Detroit Lions, right? So I'm just going to make this up. We'll use today's stuff because Eric Bieniemy is kind of a hot name right now. Let's just say he's the hot commodity coach that everybody really wants this year. And you're the Detroit Lions or you're the Houston Texans. Do you think the Houston Texans have any shot in hell of getting Bieniemy with the way that organization is?
The only leg up they have is Deshaun Watson being such a young guy.
But. Right. But you're a coach. If he doesn't perform and the rest of your roster doesn't perform and you don't know who the GM is yet, so we got to kind of throw that out.
Yeah.
But if you look how stupidly that organization has acted, you can't trust
them. You're not wrong.
Right.
At all.
Right. So what? Let's look at a different team. You know, what if you're Detroit Lions? What do you want to do if you want to hire a new coach next year? Byron Leftwich is another good one, right? For sure, James. But if you want to get Byron or you want to get Bieniemy next year, do you want to look like a dysfunctional mess of an organization, or do you want to look like you're going to have an opportunity to give your coach what you told your coach you're going to give them? What
they're going to give them 3 years.
The public they were giving the coach meaningful games in December, right? This is all on the public. This is all done out in the public. If you don't give that to them, you look a little wacky as an owner, and you're a brand new owner with Sheila here. Nobody knows what to expect. If you don't have a steady hand and you look like you're a little off kilter and you don't make, what does Detroit have? Do they have the best tax place? No. I think maybe somebody in Miami or Texas, Houston is going to have a leg up to getting a coach, right? Just on the no income tax thing. There's a whole lot more money available that way, right? Because what's Michigan at? 7%, 8% state income tax to zero? That's a big chunk of change when you're talking about millions of dollars. Oh, what about the weather? Does Michigan have the weather? Oh, no, they're not beating in a lot of the warm weather states. So not going to beat them there. What are you getting down to? Well, what's the organization like? Right? What good is your organization and how much of the freedom that they need to perform and how much of a leash will they be given to do their job? And if you can't promise that to the coach, you're not going to get one of the best coaches out there. And if you don't get one of the best coaches out there, you might as well keep Patricia because you're not going to get any kind of a different, you'll have a different mix and different set of excuses and different attitude in the interview room, but it's going to be no different in the performance on the field. Right. So I'm telling you guys, the whole idea of fire Patricia, I think it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Yeah. But the when right now is more important than any other part of it. And the how. It's super crucial.
Let me respond to one of the comments in the YouTube. Ryan Zarzecki. It's not that everyone doesn't know that the Lions organization is dysfunctional compared to the norm. It's whether or not they're dysfunctional compared to the other teams that are in need of a head coach. And a lot of those other teams that are going to be in need of a head coach are even worse than the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even more dysfunctional than the Lions.
And you just want to be the employer of choice. Okay.
Right.
That's the phrase from HR from 10 years ago. You want employers to choose to come work for you. If you want to get the best, if you want to get the very, very best, you want to be looking like you will give that person the very, very best shot to do their best job and succeed. Because I'll tell you what, any leader, coach in the NFL would absolutely love to have their name ingrained in the annals of history to take the Detroit Lions to their very first Super Bowl win. That is the kind of stuff that the narcissism that is in a coach's kind of makeup that feeds that. They would absolutely love that. But the situation has to be right. And so you have that actually going for them and as a way to bring them in. So I'm look, I've talked about it, and I'll hit it one more time. Yes, 99.9% sure the coach is going to go. I think everybody knows. I think the coach knows. It's just about how and when this is done. And when it happens, it'll happen appropriately, and it'll be happening in a way that we don't screw ourselves next year. Does Bob Quinn survive? We'll know after this. St. Jude. Got to talk about St. Jude. We got the big thing coming up. Like I said earlier, Lawrence Jackson, Lojack, is coming to join us. We've got a couple Lions players on the hook. One who I have a renowned poor sense of pronouncing his name. We'll leave it at that. He's on the potential block here. We're just locking in some details. Got a lot of stuff going. Lions players, national folks showing and coming in, and we're going to be doing a whole lot of work to help raise money for St. Jude. We're having a 24-hour podcast-a-thon. It's kind of like a telethon, but it's a podcast-a-thon. I don't want to get anyone confused. The idea there is to raise as much money as we can in cash, and then more items for the auction. Kenny Golladay jerseys are here. We got a lot of stuff. We just got a lot of stuff. I'll just leave it at that. I'll tell you, the Colorado ski one is the one that I might be bidding on myself. I'll get my family and my brother's family get together and go skiing. But that's a huge one. A week in a ski resort house, like a rental house in the Colorado mountains of the ski, and that'd be awesome. A lot of really, really great stuff. It's all for St. Jude. We're taking all the overhead. We're paying for that. That's coming out of our pockets. And then every single penny that goes to this will go to St. Jude. We're working with them right now to get a website set up so that all your money goes directly to them. So you get your tax deductions, the whole thing. A lot going on. Let me put the flyer up on the screen. So the 24-hour podcast-a-thon on the 6th, starting on the 9th, we're going to have the charity auction. That's when all these things go up. All the things you donate, players that call in during the podcast-a-thon donate, the whole thing. The auction starts, ends on the 18th of December. We're going to try so hard to get everything in everybody's hands by Christmas so that you can use these as Christmas presents. So think about that. We're shooting for 25 grand this time. We got almost 8 grand last time, kind of spur of the moment. We're counting on you guys to help us out. This is a big, big deal. Christmas for the kids, helping some sick kids have a good Christmas, and helping see if we can find a cure for these folks. These are the future. If anybody is important in this world and want to take care of them, it's the kids, and these kids need it more than any. So let's pull together for these guys. Let's show what we can do here in Detroit and help folks that are really in need here this Christmas. All right. So we're coming up. That's coming up on the 6th. Like I said, please join us, and let's go to town and help these kids in St. Jude. Okay. I forgot what my teaser was before I went to St. Jude. It was like, tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
You know me. I wasn't listening to you. So.
Okay. Yeah, I do know you. Dang it. All right. Okay. So here we go. Let's we talk about keep or trash Patricia. Let's talk about Quinn. This is an interesting one. Bob Quinn, whether he stays or whether he goes, what do you think? What's your name? Case. And not only what do you think about it, but what are we going to do with him? I mean, who will we look for?
The question of who we would look to replace him mid-season. That's so tough. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know who I think the candidates would be for that position. Whether or not I think that he would get fired mid-season, I don't think so. I don't think so, because I think my impression of Quinn is that even if he knew he was going out, he would still try to put them in the best position going forward. Because I think he would like to, you know, if you do that in the NFL and you tear down the, you know, you go scorched earth, you're not getting another position in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So even if you know you're going out the door, you do your best to put the team in a good position going forward. And my suspicion is that's the kind of guy he is, that he's smart enough to look at his own, you know, prospects going forward and not completely try to tear everything down. So I would be a little bit surprised if they do decide to fire Patricia mid-season, I would be a little surprised if Quinn got the axe before the end of the year.
Yeah, I think so. And Dorsey, I'm not sure about. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how that goes. I don't think he's the guy. I got to get Riz. He told me who he.
He's going to have a lot better insight on that than
I do.
I'll let him educate everyone on that kind of stuff.
He's going to stun everybody. I'm just telling you right now. And I told him I wouldn't say, but he's going to stun everybody. I got to hit one more thing, one more tweet, and we're running close on time here. So we got one more subject we want to hit here. Going back old school to the old guy that I talked about earlier, Wade Phillips, just a really, really interesting tweet. Watching and waiting the league, not one team. Just looking to see if I can get an opportunity to help someone win. That was after Houston did the Bob thing. I told you before I wanted Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator for this team. I think Wade Phillips could help us win. And I think Wade Phillips is the one guy or one of very few people to bring in for the defense of this team that could take what we have and make something of it almost immediately. I believe he has the mind to make something happen out of that defense. And he's the guy. I don't know why we didn't pick him up this year. I don't know why we went with Corey Unlin, because it's literally no different than what we saw. I wanted Wade Phillips. I still want Wade Phillips. I would love if he's still in the mix. I think whoever we get for coach, and I don't want Wade as a coach. I just don't. I think he's a good coach. He could probably help out a lot, but I just want him to fix our defense yesterday. And that's what I want him to concentrate on, and then bring in somebody else. I'm fine with Bevel at offensive coordinator. I think he's done a lot with this
I'm
offense.
Yeah, I'm fine with him. I'm
can
not.
Help us. He's, no. You know, but Wade Phillips driving that defense, I think, would absolutely change the team and the outcomes. Like, if we had him on defense this year and you could have got Patricia out of the mess of running the defense, I think this team would be 2-3 wins this year. I honestly believe that if Wade would have been given the handles to steer that defense the way he wanted to. I'm really high on him. So let's just see. Let's see how things work with that. I'm interested to see him. All right. Last topic. And this time it's my schedule that's pushing us. So we want to spend some time on this. Should we cater our opinion to the popular opinion? And I don't know if it came out of this, our post in Reddit this week, there was all kinds of angry people. I don't care. I responded in kind, you know, to I gave what I got. I didn't go, I don't think I went beyond what I got, Case. Let's put it that way. I can be pretty sharp if I need to be. So we looked at that, and that there was that going on, and there was a couple other things that had been going on with in the subreddit and just general Lions chat, not in the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet, I'll have you know, at the Patreon Slack chat. But other than that, been going on. So we want to talk about this and interested in what people think. You know, there's the whole fire Patricia right now concept. Mm-hmm. That is the hive mind. Is that, should we just really cater our opinion to that and support what everybody says and follow the media kind of narrative that everybody kind of has jumping on? Or should we think independently and do it? And this, I'm loading this question up and I don't mean to, right? So sorry. But should we stay independent? Because, and I will put this out there, one of the things about our podcast, I talk about this on occasion, we aren't beholden to Vox or any other corporate behemoth. We're our own thing. Locked On Lions, we could have been Locked On Lions. They gave us a contract, we negotiated a better one, and then we still rejected it and said, no, we want our autonomy. We are independent media through and through. You're looking at the COO and CEO sitting here, right? This is what we are.
It's rolling in money over here. Absolutely, you know. Yeah, absolutely. My carpet is made of $1 bills, you know, just the shreds.
And that's why we do it, right? We're absolutely do this and lose money every year because we're in here to lose as much as we can, because then we write it off. I don't know. I don't know the math on that, and I don't know how it works, but you know, this is where we're at. So the idea is, and I kind of put it as a poll, and you know, you're cracking up in the thing, Kerr, but should we just follow the hive mind or not? And I'll let you expound on it now, Case, because I wanted to set it up, and I don't think I set it up as good as I should have with what you were thinking here.
Well, I don't know how to be any other than the way I am, Chris.
I wouldn't have you any other way, my friend.
I don't know how to not just say what I believe and say what I think. And I, you know, I think I have a relatively good track record. This whole thing with Patricia has not been a great, you know, run for me in terms of my predictive abilities. But over the years that we've been doing this, I've been right more often than I've been wrong. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with being wrong and admitting when I'm wrong. But I'm not going to kowtow to somebody because they're angry because I said something that they disagree with. And fans are so incredibly angry right now. Just incredibly angry that if you don't agree with them, if you don't see it exactly the way they see it, that you, how could you possibly, you know, say anything? And that, yeah, I'm not saying, look, I'm angry too. Everybody's angry. Everybody's very frustrated and angry. It's been a long 2.5 years. It really has. It's been a long 2.5 years for everybody. And I like to think that we try to be cathartic. And that's kind of been one of the best things about doing this with you, Chris, and with our listeners, is that it's cathartic for everyone. It's seemed less cathartic lately and more just angry. Well, and that's unfortunate. And I hope we get back to a place soon where even when things are going poorly, and people, even when people are disagreeing with me and you, that that we're doing it in a spirit of, we all want the same thing in the end, which is the Lions to win.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing right now. People are so mad, right, about where things are. But it's like, why weren't you mad 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, right? Well, I wasn't old enough to be mad then. I'm going to talk a little bit. I have this thing. It's my kind of arc of a Lions fan. And it's really unique to Lions fans and Lions fandom, okay? Because of all the losing and never having that win, never having that championship, right? Every other team and every other sport has really had that. The Lions just haven't in the championship era of the Super Bowl, right? And they just haven't had that. But I'll just kind of talk just normal kind of arc of a fan in the Lions world. You know, in the US, you're probably about 14, 15, 16 when you really start following the team. You follow them a little bit, but you really start getting interested, especially in the internet era around that time. You start talking to people and you're learning about football and you're really picking up on stuff, right? I find international fans are a little older. They're 20, 21 when it starts, but they all started at some point, right? And as you learn more, you make dumb comments sometimes and silly comments, but you learn and you learn and you learn and you start investing in the team. You get your first jersey, right? You're like, all right, I got, maybe it's a t-shirt the first time or a hat, right? But you get a little bit of Lions gear and you're like, okay, they get a win, whatever, something happens, or they're like, they have a bad year. You're like, oh, well, you know, it's the Lions. I love the underdog. We're going to really do it. And you get built up and you get sold on Patricia. Before that, you get sold on Caldwell, or you get sold on Calvin, or you get sold on Stafford, right? You have the one or two players that you really love. And then this coach is different. This coach is going to do it, right? And then they fail and you're like, oh, well, now, but look at the team. We're at a point now where we can really, okay, we can take the next step. We've got this new coach again, right? And you get to this point where now you've invested in some money. You've been to some games, right? You start really identifying as a Lions fan, and now you have that hope. And you know a little bit about football. So now you're doing a little teaching as well as just chatting in the different internet forums, right? You're getting to be more of a fan, more knowledgeable. You're really investing more. Maybe at some point towards the end of this, you've painted your basement and have the Lions recliner and the Lions bar set and the whole thing, right? You've gone all in. You're super Lions fan. Maybe you're the Twitter super fan or whatever, right? And it keeps going and you keep growing and you keep growing until something like right now happens, right? And then what happens is you shake out a bunch of people. It's like a stock market shakeout. You shake out a bunch of fans who finally, after 10 years or 15 years of this, becoming to this point where they're an elite fan, they feel like the team owes them something. because they've invested so much of themselves and their money into it, and the team just doesn't deliver. And they become that Uncle Eddie guy, right, that we've talked about before, who sits there at Thanksgiving. You're like, oh, I got to watch the Lions game, when you're still a fan. That's you. Uncle Eddie's over there. Oh, Lions, they'll never be anything till the Ford sell them. Yeah, and they always suck. I remember Barry Sanders. He was fun to watch, but they'll always be trash. Right? That's that kind of attitude. The one that doesn't care, doesn't pay attention, just knows they're garbage, right? And people, because it's the Lions, and because they never win and have never won, this cycle keeps going and builds and destroys fans. And the team and the NFL has created all kinds of new fans out of young people. But what people haven't been talking about, and this is something that's happening right now, is you have a bubble in demographics. And that's in the kind of millennial Zoomer kind of right in between the two generations. You have a bubble of a lot of people. Well, a lot of millennials are going to get shook out right now, because they're at the point where they're about to fall off the cliff to Uncle Eddie because they're tired of this crap from the Lions, right? And if they have another season or two like this, or the next coach is the one, you're going to shake out the rest of them, right? And then who are you replacing them with? It's like being in the ham radio club. And I'm not ripping on ham radio guys, right? I just don't I find it interesting in different uses, but I'm not part of the club. But every time I'd like try to learn something about like the specific uses I was looking for, it was always guys over 60, right? That were just it was no one young. I'm like, this club is dead in 3 years. Because there's no one, they're not going to recruit anybody, right? It's just not going to happen. You're going to find that with fans of a team like the Lions, because now your demographic bubble that was playing in your benefit is gone, and you're going to have fewer people to fill it out. They need to win. From an organizational standpoint, they need to win, or I believe the franchise and the NFL will look at it and say the franchise is now in trouble, and the NFL can't have a brand with a franchise that's doing that poorly. And you can see them move. You can see all kinds of things happen. But that's where we are. And I think what's happening right now with all the anger and everything that's going on, I think a lot of people are getting shook out right now. And it's just, they just want to vent the anger, and they're going to vent it. If you don't agree with them as to why the Lions suck and how bad they suck, then you're the enemy. And they're just going to take it out until they finally gas out, and they're going to disappear in the offseason. And next year, a lot of them aren't going to come back, because they're at that end of that Lions cycle. So that's my Lions fan hype cycle. That's my theory, my hypothesis, whatever. We can test it out. But I'm telling you guys, this is what I've, in my years, this is what I've seen and accomplished. And what saves somebody from being that Uncle Eddie and falling off the back end is having a little bit of a time to step back and say, okay, it's just another year. We're doing it again.
I feel so fortunate that my fandom was born out of the 2008 season. Like, that's like, this is not new to me. This is what I expected when I got on board.
Yep.
So I don't know. I come at it from a little bit of a different perspective than maybe a lot of people do. But
yeah, and I'm at the point where I enjoy the Lions. I enjoy football. I'm still so happy that we have football going on. The Titans have what they're doing. That's a little bit, you know, terrifying in its own way. But we actually have football right now, and that wasn't a sure thing 2 months ago. I'm so happy to have it. Are the Lions thinking? Well, yeah, because it's football season. But I can always hope. I spend money on the Lions. I go to their games. I fly to Detroit to go to the games. I do a podcast about them. Why? Because I like the team. I like the team. I know what I signed up for. I didn't sign up for the New England Patriots. There's a whole lot of Patriots fans that'll shake out in the next year, 6 years. You just watch. And Green Bay, once Aaron Rodgers is gone, you will see so many fewer over the course of the 5-6 years after he's gone. You'll see so many Green Bay jerseys disappear off the face of the earth. You can jump on a winning team. That's okay. Anybody can do that. But I believe in the city of Detroit. I believe in the Detroit Lions. I believe in the Pistons. I believe in the Tigers and the Red Wings, because that's who I am. That's where I grow up, and that's my tribe. Win, lose, or draw, that's where I'm at, and that's who I'm with. You can be angry. You can be frustrated. Don't take it out on me. I like the Lions, and I'm mad that they didn't win, too. I'm mad that we have a coach that doesn't look like he's going to work out. But you know what? I'm still here. I'll be here next year, because this is my team. Win, lose, or otherwise. That's it. Sorry. I took your topic and I ran
beautiful.
With it.
No, it was beautiful. I did you. Yeah, no, that was beautiful. Everything that I wanted to say is seems totally irrelevant now. There you go.
All right, well, that's why we don't do the troll TV stuff and the stuff you hear on the radio and everything else, because we have a different approach. But seriously, if you guys think we should just follow the lead of the rest of the media, we're happy to. But that's one thing, you know, one of the things we saw when we started this. There's a real gap. It's a hive mind. You look, you see the same stories. We're talking about this in the Slack chat. I feel lied to by the media from training camp at how awesome Matt Stafford was looking and how awesome the defense and how, you know, the pump. And then we come out of it and we hear how, oh my God, this is a team that could take it all. It's a team that's going to surprise people this year. Well, no, I think if we were at training camp, what we'd have seen, we would have said something different. We would have seen what was actually there. But we were hearing from all the beat writers the same thing. And I love our beat writers. I love Justin Rogers. I absolutely love him. Mikey does great work. Chris Burke at The Athletic does great, great stuff, right? We have some really, really, really good guys. The problem is especially when you build it out as a bubble like that, there's not a lot of, you know, they're breathing a lot of their own air. And that's why a kind of different view and a different perspective, I think, is what's important. So that's why we do it the way we are. We do it, and that's kind of why we don't follow that. But if you guys think we should, hit us up in the comments below. That's the YouTube thing you're supposed to do, right? Hit us up in the comments. You know, we have a contact sheet at the website. Let us know. Let us know. We will tell you what we think. We will put our minds. We will not always be right. Sometimes we will be wrong. But we will always be here with the Lions information. That's that. How about that? All right. Case, I want to hit really quick fanatics.com, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And if you're doing Amazon, obviously use the Amazon one. If you're going to get yourself some Lions gear, go to fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They give us a kickback when you buy stuff there. It doesn't cost you any more. It takes away from their profit, and they give us a little cheap piece of that. So helps the show, help us do what we're doing. Like I said, we're just an independent journalist doing our own thing. So any kind of support you guys provide, we massively, massively appreciate it. Last thing we got, a quick around the division, and instead of saying it, let me really say it.
Around the division!
Don't fuck around!
There we go. All right, Case, take us around the division, brother.
Yeah, we're going to make this fast because more or less you guys can just look at the standings. Well, when we come back next time, I'll try to go a little bit more in depth with what's actually happening. The Packers, as we mentioned earlier in the show, are just running rough rod right now. They are looking like one of the teams to beat. And it's all been off the resurgence of Aaron Rodgers playing some of the best football of his career right now. It's one of those things that you hope, you know, you watch somebody like Aaron Rodgers at his age doing it, and you hope that Matthew Stafford could pull off the same thing.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's, you know, we can hope that we'll see that, but right now it's not in Detroit that it's happening. It's in Green Bay, and it's going to be hard for anybody to stop them right now. The Bears did exactly what I expected the Bears to do and showed that they were fakers and sucked against the Colts. I would not be surprised to see that continue. The Vikings also did more or less what I expected them to and finally showed up. I was not surprised to see the Vikings finally show up and win a game. I think technically we are still ahead of the Vikings in the standings, but that's neither here nor there. I would not be surprised to see the Bears lose their next couple and the Vikings win their next couple, and for the Bears to end up fighting out for third, fourth place in the division with the Lions after a couple of weeks here. Unless obviously the Lions do, you know, the unexpected and go on a winning streak here. So,
yeah. Hey, got to thank Mike Hodges for his quick super chat. Don't change your breath of fresh air. Thanks, Mike. That's really, really nice of you. Appreciate the support. We are who we are. I mean, Case said it. He is who he is, pretty straight up. I am who I am. I'm the same way, except I swear less at work. It's literally the same thing. So
you have no idea how hard it is for me to swear less than we used to swear.
Oh man. It's funny because like the second
I would not recommend going back and listening to early shows on the way if you have, you know.
Yeah.
If you're
that's crazy. You
know, weak in that area. So.
If you're weak eared. Yeah.
I'm not sure how I wanted to put that, but yeah, you get the idea.
Okay. I was a guy who like at work, I even there, right, I know who I've got, who my people are, that I can talk to and talk with. And there I can be more free, but I'd make a sailor blush with it. I worked my way through my undergrad as a mechanic. So, you work in a kitchen, you know, same kind of thing. We have our own vocabulary that we use and share to share our feelings with each other. So,
Matt, I miss it too. I miss the profanity too. I got that reality check when I got us demonetized twice. And
oh my God. I'm trying to fix your video. Go ahead. Keep going. You got it, brother. Keep going. You're going. let's see. All right. Was that the whole around the division?
Yeah, that's it for now. Like okay. I said, we'll do a little bit better and more in depth next time, but we're keeping it short this week. So,
okay. Appreciate it. All right. That's going to do it this week, guys. Thank you all so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Don't mean to get preachy. It's bye week. You get the bye week blues. Lot to take on. Hardcore swearing years with a forking shit, man. Thanks, Carter. Yeah. You know, we'll do something. We'll do some. I guarantee things are going to slip during the St. Jude thing. Doing something nice.
I can't go 24 hours without.
Yeah. No. I don't know what we're going to do.
Just trying to keep my clothes on for 24 hours. Jesus.
24 hours is going to be nuts. We're going to be nuts. By the end of that, we're going to be loopier in the hell. But all right. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for supporting the show. We love you for it. I mean, like I say, the biggest compliment you can give us is to tell a friend to listen in. So thanks for all your sharing amongst other people and letting folks know about us. It means a lot to us. Use the comments in the subreddit. Give us your feedback. It's a community show. We adjust based on what we hear from you guys. So we're all in on what you got to say. Happy to have a constructive conversation. If you want to come in hot, we can go hot too. That's fine. That's fun. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. And get in there. You get the Slack chat access. And I'm telling you guys, it's a great place to hang out with great people, talk Lions, good, bad, or otherwise. You get treated with respect. And that's the one thing we wish we could see more of in all of these internet places, including the subreddit, is people just treating each other with respect. It's I'll say it now. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. So be good to each other. All right. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Detroit Lions on Instagram, and on Twitter. Give us that follow at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, the very, very best place to see Case
getting effed in the A.
Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, go to YouTube.com/DetroitLionsPodcast, and bit.ly/DLPClips, so we can come in your ears automatically. Who wouldn't want a case of Case? Who wouldn't want Case running down their cheek? Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems. Those are your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Everybody else is walking away with ball burns in between their hands.